You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football and the draft for SportingNews.com. I have my live analysis pick-by-pick up there that you can check out now. We'll continue that through rounds two and round three. We'll have reaction to those rounds there for you. On Monday's show, we'll have to dissect the things that happened over the weekend. We'll have round two, rounds three. Then we have rounds four through seven on Saturday as well. So we'll kind of bring those rounds all together and pull out the most notable fantasy-related picks, offensive skill, and otherwise there for you. That's what we're going to do here. We'll do it in full. We'll break down the first round of the 2020 NFL Draft. It's officially in the books. No more mocks. We've got them 1 through 32. Not all the teams that started picking on the night ended up making picks. A lot of trades up and down the board, including two wide receivers as Marquise Brown and one A.J. Brown both got traded during the draft. So A.J. Brown went from the Titans to the Eagles. We had Hollywood go from the Ravens and reuniting with Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. So on top of that, wide receivers dominated the first round of the draft. They were all over the board here. So wide receiver-centric situation there. Players flew off the board of that position, including Drake London of USC is the first one off the board. And we went all the way down to Titans replacing Brown immediately with the Treylon Burks of Arkansas. So we'll break down those picks. A lot of other good picks in between. Started out defensively, but quickly got into the offense there. And some key players that are going to help teams produce better either in the passing or running game here in 2022. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We are free and available for you on all platforms. And now, let's dive right in, shall we? What we'll do is we'll break it down. We'll take 10 picks in our first segment, the next 10 picks, and then close looking a little bit more rapid fire with the final 12 picks of the first round here. In the books, definitely a lot of surprises that happened. Eventually, at number one, it wasn't much of a surprise based on the betting odds and where he was at the end there of the process. But the Jaguars at number one overall started defensively, took Trayvon Walker. He's a defensive tackle, defensive end hybrid for their 3-4. They're turning it over to Mike Caldwell. He's a defensive coordinator coming from the Bucks and Todd Bowles. So Trayvon Walker, they're hoping, is a disruptive player, can rush the passer. They hope he can be J.J. Watt. They passed on J.J. Watt. If you look at it, 2011 draft, they took Blaine Gabbert. Maybe still ruining that. It's been different management since, but I think they also like Walker's versatility, ability to play the run a little bit more than Aiden Hutchinson, who went number two overall to the Lions. So you look at Walker. Look, he's going to make that Jaguars defense better. They're starting to have some more playmakers there. They got Josh Allen. They got Fosade Aluokun there. They spent a lot of money on him. He set a record there as an IDP player, making a lot of tackles. Then they added a linebacker later in the draft. We'll talk about him. They were not picking twice to begin the night, but had to trade back in there. So defensive-minded first round for the Jaguars. Walker, they hope, has a lot of potential for big-time sack production here with his athleticism and ability to move around the formation. Lions were thrilled that the local kid, Aiden Hutchinson, grew up in Plymouth, Michigan, not too far from Detroit in Wayne County there. Played in Ann Arbor for the Wolverines. Relentless pass rusher. Put him on the edge there with Charles Harris. He'll probably replace Romeo Okwara pretty quickly and be a big part of what they do for Aaron Glenn and that Honolulu Blue defense there. So Hutchinson can be a good individual player, we know, in the production. I think Hutchinson has the better sack upside right now to produce right away, like we've seen Miles Garrett and TJ Watt. That type of player Hutchinson can be. Walker may need a little bit of time to have that big impact there to rack up sacks and put up numbers there. So Hutchinson definitely having the appeal as a defensive player with statistical upside here, at least early in their careers. The Texans also kept the defense run going. We thought they might go to offensive line with either Ikem Ekwonu or Evan Neal, the best two offensive tackles on the board. Instead, with Laramie Tunsil still in the mix, they went for a secondary player, took Derek Stinley Jr. out of LSU. So went down the road, Houston to Baton Rouge, not too far. Lovie Smith wanted a playmaker on the back end. They lost Justin Reed, who was an okay player, but they were pretty weak at corner. I knew the Texans were going to address corner at some point. They decided to jump on Derek Stingley Jr. A little bit surprising when you looked at Sauce Gardner, Ahmad, also known as Ahmad, from Cincinnati, rising up boards pretty fast. But Stingley doesn't do too much for us in the fantasy perspective. He could contain some receivers, but it's going to take some while before we look at him as a shutdown type guy in the AFC South. Sauce Gardner brings a lot of sauce. That's why his nickname is that. He brings a lot of juice as well. Playmaking there for Robert Saleh's defense. Look at the investments there. DJ Reed, a good corner who fits the system, coming from the Seahawks. You have now Sauce Gardner, a little bit of Richard Sherman to him, and be able to take over some games with his length and just overall playmaking pop here and a shutdown sensibility. So Jets really upgrade here their secondary this offseason. Very good draft for the Jets. They ended up with three picks. They started the night with two, so we'll talk about them, but what a series of picks, including one offensive boon there that they got a little bit later at number 10 overall. But yeah, defense dominated, and that continued through pick number 5. So the Giants, they were tied to the two offensive linemen as well, but they also were sitting on pick number 7 overall. So they could go with the best player available to them. It was Kayvon Gardner. I think they might have taken Sauce Gardner if he was on the board here at corner. But Kayvon Thibodeau here and what he could do out of Oregon, the edge rusher, he plugs in right away. Wink Martindale is now their defensive coordinator with the Giants. So trying to rev up that pass rush. They have Azeez Ojulari at the other position there. So we'll see. Thibodeau does have a high ceiling. We'll see if he can get it going here as a pass rusher early and put up the numbers that we're going to see for sure for Hutchinson in up getting some sacks and getting the quarterback. So Thibodeau, a pressure guy, can make a lot of plays here. Again, IDP, you're a little bit wary because you're really dependent on sacks if they're a rookie. But again, okay, Kayvon fills a big need. We know the Giants love their edge pass rushers. A little bit different now. They've pivoted to kind of a 3-4 look, but when they have the edge rushers, they tend to be pretty good, and Thibodeau gives them that opportunity here. Now, number 6, we thought the Panthers might go quarterback here, but they did break the offensive seal. So 5 straight defensive picks to open the draft. Ikem Ekwonu was the choice. And remember, Ikem Ekwonu was kind of locked in as a Panthers pick for a long time. We didn't know if he was going to be available there. That was the biggest question. You had also Charles Cross, and he thought if Charles Cross of Mississippi State was the best tackle, then they might pivot to quarterback. You also had Evan Neal still on the board here from Alabama that you could put a left tackle. But I think Ekwonu, a little bit more athletic and strong combination here. So that's why they went with Ekwonu. I think he can play a little bit more to help them in the run, a little bit mean, nasty, that kind of profile as well as being very athletic. And they also had a bit of a bias here, given he was an NC State product, maybe had a better look at him here ahead of the draft versus Evan Neal coming out of Alabama. But they're very happy. They fill their biggest need here offensively. Pass on quarterback. We'll see what they do. They don't pick for a while after this one. Looks like they'll stick with Sam Darnold, try to improve that offensive line, get better run blocking as well for Christian McCaffrey. That's what they get with Ekwonu now, again, with Taylor Moten in the mix up front. But it's going to help that offense in many ways. The Giants needed a bookend there for Andrew Thomas to help really Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. So Evan Neal looks like he'll play right tackle for them, but now you have two guys that can really hold it down to the edge for the Giants. They also spent some money with Joe Shane, their new general manager, and Brian Daboll, and now Mike Kafka, their new offense coordinator, to upgrade other parts of their interior line. So look at between Thomas and Neal, they've got some pretty good tackles. The interior is a little bit better overall for the Giants. That's going to help Jones again and Barkley overall here. So they're giving a shot with Jones one more year. They didn't pick up the option on Jones, so they're really taking the make-or-break type approach that say, look, we've given you all this stuff. Let's go win some games, look better, and make that corner turned here to going from a meh average quarterback to someone who's above average and can be a bona fide starter of this league versus a bust of a first-round pick. So Neal is going to help them do that, and it also helps that Saquon Barkley will get an asset here to help him maybe rebound from another disappointing injury-riddled season there in New York. Now the Falcons, not a surprise they took a wide receiver at number 8. It was the surprise that it was Drake London of USC ahead of other players. I really liked the big three, Garrett Wilson of Ohio State, Chris Olave, his teammate, and his former teammate, Jameson Williams of Alabama. Stay tuned. They did go soon after this, but the Falcons go for the size of Drake London, maybe from having Kyle Pitts last year, went for the catch radius there, try to have a guy that can play off Kyle Pitts a little bit better. They needed the position, so I can't fault with the pick of the position. I just fault the pick not going for one of those other three guys. And again, London's a little bit of work in progress. We need to see the route running separation all come together. In terms of the raw profile, it's really great. I mean, he's 6'5", big target, can get on the outside, stretch the field. The biggest ceiling he has is a Mike Evans-type player here where he can dominate as a number one. I'm not sure he's there, but Calvin Ridley suspended, Russell Gage leaving in free agency. They need a replacement. This is their highest drafted wide receiver since Julio Jones there, when the Julio Jones and A.J. Green went in the same 2011 draft. So it's been 11 years since the Falcons really went this direction. They did use a first-round pick on Calvin Ridley, but to use a wide receiver pick this high is something they haven't done in a while since Jones, and Jones was a number 4 overall pick. So they like London in the upside. I just think he's a bit raw. Got to put it all together. He can produce. I like London, don't get me wrong. I just think that for their purposes, and know that Ridley could be in the mix again next year. You have Olamide Zaccheaus working the slot. Kyle Pitts, also an intermediate inside receiver there at tight end, that I might have gone for one of those more traditional receivers, a little bit better production and reliability to translate their games well to the NFL. So a little bit disappointing, but Drake London is a great opportunity. Again, there's not a lot of mouths to feed available in that Falcons offense at this very juncture. So it's going to be basically Kyle Pitts in London. It's going to help Pitts' value as well. We got too many double teams last year taken out of games when Ridley was not available to draw some coverage. So they'll play off each other. London has a chance again to see well over century mark and targets out of necessity here from Marcus Mariota, the new quarterback. And the red zone, we know Mariota is a pretty good red zone passer, so that's going to help the value of Drake London as well. But again, I think the player was question mark, but he's definitely in a position to put up some fantasy football numbers out of necessity. Seahawks, we mentioned, looking for offensive tackle as well. Charles Cross there with the Panthers as a guy that they were looking at, but you had Evan Neal here go right after him at number 7, so the Seahawks had to address that. Dwayne Brown they didn't bring back, so Charles Cross ends up being the pick. They also don't force a quarterback pick, much like Carolina go for their offensive tackle need instead. The left tackle guy that you can plug in. He's the last true guy that you can feel good about starting and being a long-term asset there and one of the tackles, Charles Cross, when they go in that direction. Finally, we'll end on a bang here at number 10, this first segment of the breakdown of our first-round picks of the 2020 NFL Draft from a fantasy football perspective. This one excited me a lot. It's Garrett Wilson going to the Jets. There he will play with Zach Wilson. You have some good weapons there all of a sudden, so watch out for Zach Wilson. They have Corey Davis and Elijah Moore. Davis was a good free agent addition. He was a little hurt last year, but when healthy, he was effective. And Elijah Moore really was a revelation, got going there as a second-round rookie for New York last year. So yet another weapon. You got CJ Uzomah and Tyler Conklin at tight end there to help Zach Wilson as well. But Wilson to Wilson could be a very busy combination here. Wilson, very good route runner technician here. Perfect for a target for Zach Wilson all over the field. So, love the pick. Again, there's some developing situation where you go with Davis or Moore or Wilson right now. It's pretty close. I think I would lean more Moore and Wilson, the youngsters, versus Davis, who I think is more of a big possession body of the outside here, realistically. Even though, again, he was a top five pick there for the Titans. So a lot of first-round capital the Jets have at wide receiver now between Wilson and Davis. Plus you have Moore, who should have probably been a first-round pick last year. That's how good he was. And again, he was a wide receiver too already. So Moore is the most appealing guy. Then Davis, again, the durability issue is a little bit concerning there. So, but a good opportunity for Wilson for sure. And really, again, Zach Wilson has to be on the radar now as a QB2 with some upside. I really liked him last year. If he stayed healthy, I think you would have seen a little bit more, but now you do like the fact that he has three really strong weapons here in 2022 as he tries to do a lot better in year two. All right, that's a breakdown of the top 10 picks in the 2022 NFL Draft from number 1 through 10. We'll get to 11 through 20 in our next segment and then close looking at 21 through 32. This has been Locked On Fantasy Football. And I got to tell you about Shady Rays. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every pair of sunglasses. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. Give them a try, and if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays, exclusive for listeners. Head to ShadyRays.com and use the code LOCKEDON. Get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's the promo code LOCKEDON for Shady Rays' best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses, backed by more than 150,000 verified 5-star reviews. That is Shady Rays. All right, we'll get into some more wide receiver picks here, including back-to-back in 11-12 to the Saints and the Lions, who made a deal with the Vikings to take a wide out. But I do have to remind you, it's going here still on the network. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Locked On is going to continue hosting live coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft. It'll start here an hour before the draft for rounds two and round three. Great show on Thursday night there, all throughout the night. Friday, check it out at 6 p.m. Eastern time as we lead into rounds two and round three. It's available to check out the analysis, real-time analysis there that's coming at you on the network. Available on Locked On NFL on YouTube and on the Odyssey app. So check it out. Great stuff there from night one. It'll continue here into night two. All right, number 11 overall was the Saints, and they took Chris Olave. So they had been tied to some of these Ohio State wide receivers, and it looked like they had cooled off a little bit. Maybe we're thinking about an offensive line-defense combination in the first round. But ultimately, they moved up to get Olave. They used those picks that they acquired from the Eagles. They used one of them to slide up here to where the Commanders were taking. The Commanders had been tied to Olave. So actually, Olave going 11 there to the Commanders. And he ends up going there to the Saints. And again, they needed a big playmaker to put with Michael Thomas. They're being committed to stretch the field here more with Jameis Winston and that big arm. They also committed to protecting him. That was a pick that came a few picks later when they moved down a little bit. So they moved up one way to 11, moved down the other way, and down 19. So really making a commitment to try to make their offense a little bit more dynamic. You have Chris Olave now with Michael Thomas, a very good short to intermediate route runner, possession guy. You also have Marquez Callaway, who serves well as a number three. I think Olave has some slot versatility. You also have still Alvin Kamara and his pass catching brilliance out of the backfield. So good move for the Saints. I don't know if it's the best landing spot. Again, Winston a little bit shakier. We want some consistency, especially with Thomas and Callaway in the mix here. But I think the Wilson pick, Olave, pretty similar. Again, who do you trust, Wilson at quarterback or Winston at quarterback? And that's going to determine how you feel. But these two guys, just immense talent as number ones, the two Ohio State guys going back to back. Now, Jameson Williams had to get out of Ohio State because he was buried as the number three guy. He got to Alabama, succeeded Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle, had a big year there playing with John Mechie. They're making big plays all over the field, dominated all the way through the championship game where he hurt his knee here. So recovering from that, you have him and really how it revved up for him last year. Just got going with Bryce Young. They had a really good connection there. Williams didn't get a chance to play with those guys before, so he stepped into Alabama, made up for some lost time there coming over from Columbus, and did he light up in Tuscaloosa. Now, he's coming off the knee injury issue that we know, but the Lions can be patient. They're actually one of those teams that are looking for 1 or 2 years down the line still. And you look at their receiving core, you have Amon-Ra St. Brown, you have T.J. Hockenson. We'll see Quintus Cephas probably gets displaced by this. Well, Williams is a key target here. So Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you've got Hockenson established as a first-round pick at tight end. You have DeAndre Swift as a very adept pass catcher out of the backfield. So excited for Williams. He just had to pump the brakes a little bit, not knowing when he's going to be on the field back there and producing, but this is great for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Again, he wasn't a first-round pick, but he really played well as a wide receiver two asset for you down the stretch as a rookie. So Williams deflecting some coverage will be great. Also, continued openings up for Hockenson as teams tend to key a lot on Hockenson and Swift out of the backfield, but that really changed once Amon-Ra St. Brown became a bigger factor, and that's going to keep changing here with Williams. You want as many playmakers as possible to get the single coverage open. We saw that with the Bengals last year. That's what people are trying to copycat, the Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd situation. If you want to make some comparisons there, I'd say Amon-Ra is kind of a little bit both of Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd. I think he's more Boyd in the traditional sense. They have T.J. Hawkinson, a big target, the way the Bengals had with C.J. Uzomah, but a little bit more athletic, and he comes in the mix here as the big possession guy. And then you look at Williams, just a field stretcher playing off St. Brown. So really a special group here of receivers. So you'd say Hawkinson is more like the Higgins of what they want to do here. Amon-Ra same kind of like Boyd, and James Williams could be the Chase here of Detroit for 2022 and beyond. Let's hope he gets healthy because he can make a lot of plays, and he might end up being out producing Olave, Wilson, and London would not surprise me at all. Williams can be on the field early there with Jared Goff. We'll see if they upgrade quarterback on day two, but really looking at the Lions, Williams was a pick they couldn't pass up before they considered the drop-off of wide receiver, given Cross went in between London and Wilson, that to kind of broke things up a little bit, but London, Wilson, Olave being off the board prompted the Lions to make sure they got Williams in their man. At 13, the Eagles jumped the Ravens to take Jordan Davis, the defensive tackle out of Georgia, disruptive run stopper, also has some pop against the run, or against the pass, I should say. That's reminds them a little bit of Fletcher Cox. He'll be playing next to Fletcher Cox. Right now, their best option there in the middle was Milton Williams. So Davis was a needed upgrade there up front to help complement that good pass rush. They brought back some edge. I think they'll need some help there. The Eagles start with a defense in this draft, throwing people off a little bit, but they love Jordan Davis, and now he's in Philadelphia. The Ravens, IDP alert, right after the Eagles picked at 14, they settled for Kyle Hamilton. I say settled, but this guy could be a top five talent for sure. I mean, he's that type of playmaker. Every game you saw Notre Dame's defense play last year, or really offense, he was the guy that stood out making the big plays when they counted most in some tight contests, some comebacks they had. So Kyle Hamilton in Baltimore, I know they invested quite a bit in Marcus Williams, but they were pretty weak at the other safety. The strong traditional role there with Chuck Clark. So you get two new safeties there, Hamilton and Williams. It changes the game, the way they can cover all over the field. Hamilton just flies around like a linebacker, but can also cover like a slot defensive back. So good pickup by the Ravens for sure. Catcher, falling star whenever you can. And really, Ravens, they knew that Hamilton was a little bit overdue. I really think the Eagles maybe should have jumped on Hamilton in that spot, one spot ahead. But they just jumped the Ravens to take Davis instead. Now, the next pick belongs to the Texans at number 15. They moved down from that Eagles pick, made that deal. They got number 13 from the trade for Deshaun Watson with the Browns. So they moved down, and they take Kenyon Green. I like Kenyon Green quite a bit. I just thought the Texans may have reached a little bit for an offensive lineman here when it wasn't a tackle. So they need some guard help with Justin McCray on one side. So decent pick in terms of meeting a need, but I think a bit of a reach here where there are some better players that they could have targeted, not just on the offensive line, but other positions. All right, we go to the Commanders, and they were not shying away from wide receiver. They were tied to one at number 11. They still took one a few picks later at number 16, and they're moved down with the Saints. You had Jahan Dotson, so they're going for the big playmaker there, speedy vertical threat, playing off one Terry McLaurin, who's established as a good all-around number one there. So that kind of made sense in the end. You also like Carson Wentz's big arm. He tends to do well with a player like this. So it's some versatility we've seen in the past with Nelson Agholor, Riley Cooper, those type of receivers there in Philadelphia. So need to get a field stretcher, big arm for Wentz to buy time and throw downfield. So Jahan Dotson was the guy out of Penn State. I thought he might last to the Packers or Chiefs later in the first round of the 20s, but they go for the upside vertical threat there of Dotson, hoping that Wentz can get the ball to him. And again, I don't mind the situation. There's not a lot there. Logan Thomas is coming off a knee injury, so you don't have too much. McLaurin, Dotson, then J.D. McKissick / Antonio Gibson out of the backfield. So not a bad position to produce here for Dotson. It would have been better if he had landed with Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or the Chiefs or Packers respectively, but still some very good value just based on his talent and the landing spot there outside for Wentz. The next pick was the Chargers, and they went with Zion Johnson. Not a surprise here. They were going to take whoever they thought was the best interior offensive lineman that could also slide out to tackle. I think they'll probably look at him inside here, but just a good player, Zion Johnson, out of Boston College overall. They liked his pushing people out of the way and all that. And the Chargers are in it to win now. They realize Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, we've got some decent tight ends. This is the roster we're made up to win now. Let's go fill our hole immediately where it's glaring and it's on the offensive line on the right side. So Zion Johnson can do that either at guard or tackle. They're sitting really pretty with him in the mix. The Titans brought it back to wide receiver. Let's quickly mention their big trade. A.J. Brown goes to the Eagles. That was why the Eagles also dwindled down to one pick out of three. They had also made that trade with the Saints before the draft. But looking at Treylon Burks, they like the size, strength. They hope he can turn into another A.J. Brown because they dealt A.J. Brown to the Titans there. So Burks, again, has a big opportunity. We'll see how Robert Woods comes back from the torn ACL there that he's recovering from in his last season of the Rams. So big change in the wide receiver core. Last year, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Now, all of a sudden, you're departing from those guys, and you have Burks and Robert Woods. So very interesting there. I think they're more short to intermediate type receiver. It's a downgrade. I think I'm not going to be too invested in Burks in a run-heavy offense playing with Tannehill. Really struggled in the playoffs against the Bengals last year. So again, wait-and-see approach with Burks. Interesting that they went for someone they thought could be like Brown after giving up Brown and not wanting to pay him the way the Eagles were able to do and break the bank for a wide receiver to complement one Devonta Smith from last year. So essentially another first-round pick comes there to the Eagles and getting A.J. Brown. I know he's taken in the second round for real, but in fantasy he was a stud, and now he's there in a good spot. They're playing off Smith. So Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown bumps up to wide receiver one status, even with sometimes inconsistent inaccuracy of Jalen Hurts. If he's a starting quarterback, he's getting the ball to A.J. Brown first. Devonta Smith curbed a little bit. I think he falls into more wide receiver three category. Dallas Goedert pretty much stays where he's at tight end, but definitely it changes the way we look at the Eagles right now with that extra receiver making plays. So, and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts could be something to watch here in all SEC connection as we try to get that revved up and try to keep up Brown's fantasy value there from Tennessee. Now, we'll quickly mention the Cardinals. They were going to pick at 23. We'll talk about them in brief because we're talking about wide receiver trades for a guy named Brown. The Cardinals made it a big deal, gave a first-round pick there. That's why the Ravens were able to come back in and get multiple picks in the first draft. But looking at the situation, you have now Marquise Brown reuniting with his college teammate there, Kyler Murray, in Arizona. So that chemistry is already established, kind of like we had the Devontae Adams, Fresno State connection with Derek Carr. But tough hit here for the Ravens, but that bumps up Rashad Bateman's value. Now he has some wide receiver two appeal as the best option. He was a first-round pick last year, so Ravens making moves had to do that to dump Hollywood. Look, it's one less weapon for Lamar Jackson, but he's made it work with a mix of weapons here, and it's still the primary guys are there, Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman. They're working some other young wide receivers they drafted for depth into the mix a little bit more. So they're in position to part with Hollywood. Hollywood gets a bump up given Christian Kirk is gone in Arizona. A.J. Green has returned. DeAndre Hopkins should return. But again, we're looking at Marquise in a similar situation as a deep ball threat there. They want to stretch the field a little bit better. A lot of dinking and dunking with Kyler Murray. That's going to help familiar face and route runner and speed threat that you get in Hollywood to help Murray. And you wonder, when they make a move like that, pretty aggressive, they're giving up a first-round pick for Hollywood. I would not have done it. That's an indication that Kyler Murray is being appeased and he's pushing some of the buttons and has some input. So he's not going anywhere. They appeased him again by giving him his college receiver, Hollywood, there. So good big play threat that joins Murray, and that should help his arm a little bit. And they give him another piece of repertoire to open up the short to intermediate passing game as well as his own taking off and running here. All right, the next pick, the Saints still picked inside the top 20. This is a player they were tied to quite a bit. Trevor Penning, the offensive tackle from Northern Iowa, mean and nasty streak. They had to get an immediate replacement here for Terron Armstead, who left in free agency for the Dolphins. So Trevor Penning takes over there for the Saints at the left side. Ryan Ramczyk still a pretty good rock on the right side here for New Orleans. So very interesting pick. But, again, the Saints want to protect their quarterback better. In this case, it's Winston right now with Andy Dalton backing up. Get the ball downfield to their receivers, who now include Chris Olave as their number one, playing off of Marcus Callaway on the outside. We could see a little bit more Michael Thomas in the slot as well. But Penning, again, protecting the quarterback is going to help them push the ball downfield pretty well. The final pick in the top 20, and we will talk about 12 more picks after this. It is notable that quarterback lasted to number 20. You got to go back several drafts. The Chad Pennington draft, where he went to 18th off the board. You go all the way back 25 years to the Jim Druckenmiller draft, where he was 26th off the board. Before then, 1996, Tony Banks was a second-round pick. So it was a long wait for a quarterback. The Steelers have been tied to Kenny Pickett. Local connection there, played at Pitt, seen a lot of him play, he played on the same field. I think he's a little bit more comfortable with them, and there's a pocket, deep ball, accurate passer there for Matt Canada, so we cannot sleep on Pickett in the situation. We talked about it. Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Pat Freiermuth, Najee Harris, some dangerous wide receivers, and I think they'll add one more in this draft. So Pickett is a good spot to maybe produce sooner rather than later, so we're going to put him on the fantasy football radar. Our quarterback there, more so, look, you had Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson never really panned out. Lawrence played a lot of games, but didn't get the offensive help to put up multiple touchdown games. Wilson was not healthy too much. Dustin Fields had to wait to start, and Trey Lance didn't basically start at all until Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt. So Pickett steps in a situation where he'll start right away. Sometimes a situation for the quarterback. So we'll see. Mitchell Trubisky could beat him out. They'll have the company line that it's a battle between Pickett and Trubisky, but it's more so Trubisky is the option if Pickett totally falls flat in his face, which would not be great to know that right away in the summer. But again, you look at Pickett, someone special there that has the athletic qualities. Matt Canada, again, the deep ball accuracy, getting the ball to his weapon. So Pickett immediately on the back end, QB2 radar with a bullet, and we'll see how he settles in and see if he can make sure he wins the job with Trubisky. Yeah, you knew the keys to that offense would have some appeal. Roethlisberger finishes QB2, so that's where we're going to look at to be a little bit conservative on Pickett here in 2022. All right, we'll do a little bit more here. We have one more segment of 12 more picks. We'll get through them a little faster there, a lot more defensive-minded and not as much offensive skill in the final 12 picks of the 2022 NFL Draft first round. Summer's coming, and with summer, you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bag, in your kid backpack. Make sure that everyone has a bar so you're fueled for your summer adventures. The best part about Built Bar, they're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both. And it's easy. All you have to do is go to Built.com and order now. All Built Bars and their special puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built Bar that you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Have you tried these puffs? They're crazy good. And you look at their flavors, banana cream pie, churro, cinnamon flavor there. Who doesn't want a protein bar that tastes like a churro? And they're only got 140 calories in them. And with Built Bars, there's always enough flavors for you. You might want to try the new mixed box that they have with so many new flavors that you can check out. 12 flavors of bars and the puffs. So you get a different variety of bar as well as different flavors. Built Bar makes sure that there's something for everyone. Built Bar flavor, picking your favorite is really hard. I love anything with peanut butter and chocolate, so that's my go-to. But they also have some great other flavors, including mint and coconut and coconut almond that you can choose from. And they always have new flavors coming out, so check them out there at BuiltBar.com. Built, and 130 calories per bar. 4 grams sugar, 4 net carbs. That's the typical Built Bar that you get. 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Again, go to Built.com to get all your favorite there. Banana cream pie, raspberry, double chocolate, and so many more. They're all delicious, and new flavors are coming out all the time, as I mentioned. So check them out at Built.com. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. The promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built Bar, only at Built.com. All right, it is time to close the show and the week here, breaking down what we have in the first round of the 2022 NFL Draft for real, breaking down from a fantasy football perspective. We'll go through these picks rather quickly to close the show in our last segment. Number 21, the Chiefs traded up to get Trent McDuffie there, so moved up to get the corner, probably ahead of the Bills. know that the Bills were looking at one. They're at 23. The Bills also moved up a little bit as well in that Ravens trade. So when you look at that, McDuffie, plug and play, where Charvarius Ward was, very smart corner, makes a lot of plays on the ball, very fluid in coverage. 22 is a head-scratcher. The Packers have now gone 20 years without taking a wide receiver in the first round. Javon Walker was the last guy in 2002. They took Quay Walker there. So surprisingly that they did not go for N'Kobe Dean, Walker's teammate, his linebacker there. I thought Quay was maybe a second or third round pick. Instead, they jump on him here. They did have a need there, an inside linebacker next to Devondre Campbell, who went all pro in his first season with Green Bay. After coming over from Atlanta, got re-signed here. But Quay Walker can put up some numbers here, but this is still Devondre Campbell's numbers. And again, no wide receiver help yet for the Packers. And we'll see if they address it with the next pick. Hint, they don't. At 23, the Bills got their corner. They still need that corner to replace Levi Wallace. Again, these are contending teams. That's why they directly replaced people they lost, because they're trying to keep everything intact to go make a run. So Chiefs lose Charvarius Ward to the 49ers in free agency. They get McDuffie. The Bills didn't re-sign Levi Wallace. He ended up with the Steelers. So they go out for Kyrie Elam, another big-sized corner there out of Florida, to give them some coverage length, playing off Tre'Davious White. So Bills defense still at a high level. The Chiefs still very usable. The Packers, as much as I didn't love the Quay Walker pick, they've actually loaded up quite a bit on their defense to make a few more plays here in 2022. The Cowboys went for an offensive tackle or slash guard. They can look at him either spot, with Connor Williams gone free agency to the Dolphins. Lyle Collins moving on to the Bengals. Tyler Smith, so he's going to line up opposite Tyron Smith most likely. Help shore up that tackle spot. Very good run blocker there. Good news for Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. Ravens have had some issues at center for a while, so they went to a familiar place, an Iowa product. Marshall Yanda had been working with this guy, Tyler Linderbaum. So a couple of Tylers back-to-back on the offensive line. Good blocker in the middle, good line caller, good leader, everything you want in the center, their type of center. So the Ravens shore up the middle. They can move Patrick McCarty back either to guard or tackle now, and he was the projected starter, so desperate need there as they try to keep things intact. There, Marquise Brown, they could live without, but they needed a center here, and Linderbaum lines up really well, especially with the Yanda recommendation and mentorship. The Jets bounced back into the first round because they had to catch a falling star. It was Jermaine Johnson, so great haul for them. When you look at Sauce Gardner in the back end, Jermaine Johnson to help the edge pass rush, freakish qualities there, a little bit of a Nick Bosa feel for Robert Saleh. This Jets defense coming together quickly here with some playmakers, so we'll watch out for that. But again, good decision to trade up, back in. The Jaguars also did that. They doubled up on defense here as well in the first round. They had Walker in the first pick. They need somebody to clean up behind him next to Fosade Aluakon. You get Devin Lloyd, so they've shored up now the interior linebackers there. You got Josh Allen getting an extension here on the outside. Kalevon Chaisson, another first-round pick they got. So some pretty interesting draft capital all over that Jags defense right now. Something to watch there with Caldwell. Again, coming over for the Buccaneers. Again, I made a comparison there on the board that you have Oluokun and Lloyd. This is kind of trying to recreate what the Buccaneers had there with Devin White and Lavonte David. So trying to copycat those situations, have a lot of playmakers in the middle field against a run and pass. Next pick, the Packers went back to Georgia, went to get Devonta Wyatt. They had a need around Kenny Clark at nose tackle to get a disruptive 3-4 end. They get that, so definitely upgraded their defense. Just a little bit disappointing that we didn't get that wide receiver pick in the first round with those two picks for the Packers at 22 there and down here at 28. At 29, the Patriots made a strange pick. Literally, they made a strange pick. They took Cole Strange, the guard, out of Chattanooga. How bizarre. So Strange, the Rams, this was one of the funniest parts of the draft, that DeLess Sneed and Sean McVay trolled the Patriots, you know, in their own way, but they were hoping they're picking at the end of the third round. Remember, they've given up a lot of draft capital, and it's worked to win a Super Bowl. They were targeting Cole Strange as someone they were going to put in their lineup. Instead, the Patriots jump on him early. I actually had him mocked to the Patriots in the third round as well. So the Patriots get ahead of themselves, take Cole Strange out of Chattanooga. Interesting pick after trading down there from 21 where the Chiefs took McDuffie. Interesting that they would let the Chiefs and Bills and Ravens and some of these other contenders and really the Jets jump up also in their own division while they make an interesting, curious, very nerdy offensive line pick. I like Strange, but he should have been a day two pick for sure in third round. Now the Chiefs picked again at number 30. This was their original pick there. And they took George Karloftis. They needed an edge rusher. They needed to boost Frank Clark in that front, move Chris Jones back inside. They took Karloftis, McDuffie. So a lot of that back end, front end stuff that's going on with defense where you get that corner, but also someone to go after the quarterback. You see that in a couple of situations here in this draft. And good job there for Karloftis. And again, he could have some IDP value in getting out to quarterback and putting up some numbers. The Greek Freak grew up in Athens for quite a bit. Very good player at Purdue. Again, good spot here. Good athlete. The Chiefs are getting some depth that maybe making Frank Clark expendable here in maybe a year. The Bengals and Vikings made it back-to-back safeties to close the draft in the first round. This is a head-scratching pick by the Bengals for sure. This kind of tells me that they're probably not going to keep Jesse Bates at safety. They do have Von Bell. Von Bell played pretty well. They have Bates. Their slot corner is also very good. And Mike Hilton, the former Steeler. So Daxon Hill, maybe a little bit of insurance policy. Play him in sub-packages. Play him in different spots here. Maybe mix it up and maybe move Bates into a kind of hybrid linebacker role. Maybe have three safety looks here. It's very interesting that the Bengals went in this direction, especially with their depth and a defensive back. And I thought they might go corner. The corner value didn't line up except for Andrew Booth Jr. I thought they would certainly go after him instead. But a little bit of reach here for the Bengals. They're going for a little bit of a superfluous player based on having Bates and Bell at safety and also using the three dedicated defensive backs there. And Chidobe Awuzie and Eli Apple and the aforementioned Mike Hilton. Now, the Vikings closed the draft, and they were actually picking all the way up at 12. They dropped 20 spots. This was not a surprise. They were looking to trade down all the way. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the new general manager, working with their new coach, Kevin O'Connell. They resist going offense here and reaching for offense and maybe stashing one of those quarterbacks with Malik Willis and Desmond Ridder and everyone on the board. They take Louis Cine. However you look at his name, he's just a thumper. He's an intimidating player, strong safety written all over him. They missed Anthony Harris next to Harrison Smith, so good building block. He can eventually tap into his underrated coverage skills and take over the alpha for Harrison Smith, who's getting a little bit older, but right now good complementary player. So I thought Cine could jump into the back end of the first round as well as Daxon Hill behind Kyle Hamilton going at safety, but a good top heavy safety class in this one. And again, Vikings should be a little bit better defensively. So there you have it. There's your expanded Friday edition of Locked On Fantasy Football. We had to cover all these first-round picks here for you in depth and keep it up here. So for you to check out. And look, things are going to change with all these picks, but we want the immediate reaction up there from our fantasy football perspective. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Don't forget, our next episode will be Monday. There, it will be in May. We'll break down the notable picks from rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 that happened on Friday and Saturday. Now make your second listen, Locked On NFL Draft. Yeah, it's a good show to listen to at this point when the draft picks are actually being made. Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL Draft to life to you. There, that's going on right now, every day for you. So all throughout the offseason as well, when there's no draft season, with inside analysis on college football prospects. Yep, we're already going to look at 2023. And NFL front offices, how did your GMs and coaches do in this year's class? It is also free and available, just like the show Locked On Fantasy Football, wherever you get your podcasts. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the draft. We'll catch up with you on Monday, breaking down the rest of the picks.